Hello and welcome to another episode of Honest to a Malt with myself, Duncan, and back in the hot seat is Two Birds.
Yeah. He's back. He's got no sleep and he's fully alert.
Yeah. It's me. What's the episode title today, Tim?
Well, it's episode 29, but because someone jumped in my grave, it's episode 30. So it's episode 30.
He really did.
The Screams of Isla.
Screams of Isla. Which is your...
My daughter's name, as well as the best whiskey island.
Yeah, congratulations, possibly. By the way.
Thank you. She's loud.
She's very small.
She's tiny.
Yeah.
She was, she's within normal growth charts, 50%, whatever, like slap down the middle. But she has my lungs and she can scream. Mm. And it's just for no reason. Like, I just don't get it. They're either like, I'm hungry, I'm wet, or I've got this like new voice and I'm experimenting with it.
They're experimenting.
Just enjoying.
No,
it's all good. Yeah. I've actually had 7 hours sleep, 2 nights on the bounce now. Apart from not solid, but like, yeah, Lara's got up to feed and stuff and I've just stumbled in a sort of dozed state into the nursery. Just gone, you all right? She's like, yeah. And then just turned around and gone back to sleep straight away snoring. So... I said, I haven't had a solid 7 hours. I've had broken 7 hours, which, as you know, you may as well have none. So, yeah, I don't know what Lara's moaning about, but yeah.
Anyway, it was lovely to meet her the other day, so
yes.
Thanks.
Yes.
I took our daughter over to see Mike and his wife, Lara, and their daughter, Isla. And,
such a family heartwarming affair.
What a heartwarming moment. You make a good coffee, Mike. That's what I would say. That was my main reflection on that hour and a bit.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
You're always welcome.
So it's good to, we should say mega thanks to Whiskey with Molly. Thank you so much for stepping in and co-hosting last week. You were a super pro. Yeah.
I listened. You were funny enough, but not over the top to ever have sort of delusions of grandeur to replace me. well, you were a suitable substitute.
If one of us befalls a nasty accident soon, please just make sure Ben is a suspect, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
100%. Yeah.
If I get, chewed up in a combine harvester or something like that.
Yeah. I was going to make reference to Northern Ireland, but
I wasn't even supposed to be in the countryside, right? I'm just saying, have a look into him. That's all I'm saying.
Shifty. The boy is shifty.
Anyway, he knocked it out of the park. So again, really big thanks to Ben.
Cheers, Ben. Thanks.
So getting back into the swing of things then, what's been in your glass and what's been up your arse then, Mike, in the last week?
What's been in my glass is what is in my glass at the moment, and it is a lovely dram from the Wine Société. Gifted by the wonderful Duncan Two Drams, as I'm going to start just throwing random nicknames to see which one sticks.
Well, if you're going to choose a nickname, try to choose something that's at least slightly different from Two Puds.
Yeah. Three Puds. Duncan Three Puds.
Three Puds, Two Drams. Tried to come up with something original, Mike. That's all I'm saying.
Drunken. That's what I'm going to call you. Well, that's for your weekend.
Donuts.
After a voice note and someone left me who was considering branching out into other podcast ideas, weren't you, on the weekend?
Yeah,
do you want to talk about that quickly? There's legs in it. I think there's legs.
Can do. So basically one of our listeners who is... lady, she was saying that I think she might have had too many wines, and she was saying that she likes our podcast, Honest to a Moat. So
it's going to be a spin-off. Me and Duncan are going to go and travel around all various castles in the UK and describe their various moats, taste the water within, give some sampling notes and things.
Yeah,
and
pH levels.
Do a rating system. We'll get Brian to do a spreadsheet.
How fast you can swim a lap, all that type of stuff.
Depth.
Yeah. Well, artistic sketches. Who can draw the best, the best moat. All the good stuff.
Watch this space. Honest to a Moat, coming soon.
Yeah, 2024. Just heads up, the new honest about moats calendar will be out. You can have one for your home on your wall. It's just a calendar.
I've got one image already.
12 quality moats. Yeah,
yeah.
It'll be better if you were going to buy the goats in trees calendar this year. Don't get our one on moats. definitely going to be better. Yeah, 100%. So,
but no, it's a lovely wine society. I think is it 30-year-old?
It's a 30-year-old Islay
from 1991.
Yep, 1991. And they've done a few of these now. I think they've done three or four releases. And actually, it's very timely because they're releasing another 1991, 30-ish year old this week.
Is it 93 by now? What are we on?
No, I think they're still 91. They've got a lot of casks from the year 19. Oh, right, sort of. Okay. They did 1988. There was a Speyside. There was a Highland one from 1990, I think, or something like that.
I think
they've done four bottles now. They've done a 1988. They've done two 1991s, an Islay and a Speyside. I think they've done a 1992, sorry, a 1992, and then this week they're going to release another one, another 30-year-old one. So we just have to see what the price point is. I've drunk.
They're usually decent. They're like under a ton.
Oh, don't, you've cursed it now. It's probably going to be like 250 quid. But I've tried three of the four. Yeah. And I had a whole bottle of the Speyside 1991. You sent me the first one. To try
89, I think. Yeah.
Yep. Thank you. So I've tried that one because of you, and obviously we're trying the Islay one today. Mm. And I think we've actually tried this in the past. So what we're going to do today is we're going to establish if we think whether it's Bunmore or not.
Yeah, I think it might be. Just judging by the deep cavernous background notes of the vaults, I think they're in there.
Could be. So we're going to see if we can get any kind of floral notes on it. Mm. Yeah.
I'd go Bunmore if I had to.
Well, we'll have to see, won't we?
I've put my finger on it.
I've read about it online and, a couple of people suggested they think it might be that, but some also think it could be maybe like a Buna cask from the... I don't know. Anyway, we're going to see, aren't we? So what's been... Has anything else been in your glass?
That's been out, really. I would say what's been up my arse, which is not really up my arse. There's been a lot of flooding in the UK in the last couple of days. Right. So big shout out to anyone in Scotland. Hope you're okay.
Yeah, I know
the West Coast's been absolutely mullered.
And Ireland as well.
And Ireland, yeah.
And Suffolk.
Really?
Sorry. Yeah, Suffolk too. There's been loads of flooding. Not as bad as Ireland and Scotland, but still
they've
pretty bad.
They've suffered enough.
I'm just saying, the folk of Suffolk have suffered, yeah.
but no, I had a really bad flooding incident this morning as well.
Oh, dear.
In the house, yeah. So 9 a.m. the doorbell goes and I'm like, the hell, I've literally just got out of bed and I've gone down and it's the midwife come in for a surprise visit that wasn't a surprise, it was scheduled. So Lara's upstairs with the baby. I'm like, she comes down. So baby starts screaming. I'm like, I'll just give her a quick change and open the nappy. And I do a little trick where it's probably a well-known trick. You get like a cold wet wipe, just rub it on her belly quickly. And the cold like shocks her and she'll have like a second wee. Because you know you always change them, they have a wee straight away. And you're like,
If
you just, a little bit of coldness on their belly, it forces that little wee out. So yeah, I did
I never knew that, so I've learned something.
And what happened was things left from both exits in that situation. And I had a brown tidal wave flowing down my table towards me. And my midwife is just like laughing at me. And I'm just screaming at Lara, just get kitchen towel.
Kitchen towel
so,
now.
Yeah, we had massive massive sewer leak in the house today. From,
oh, bless her.
On point with the screams of Islay because it was just screaming poo, pee everywhere. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? It's covered. So that's been, just a shout out to the poor victims of flooding in the UK. And I also wanted to give a quick shout out to the South African rugby team and a quick congratulations for their stellar work in dealing with England on the weekend.
Yeah, I watched it was painful. It was painful for both reasons. One, England were pretty boring. And two, we lost. So,
well, there you go. Someone that isn't normally a rugby viewer suddenly getting quite cocky and sending me voice notes about how amazing you are. And then you've got the audacity to call, say, you're surprised by England being boring and getting knocked out.
I just return back to watching more interesting sports now. That's it. My flirtation with rugby is done for a while.
Done. Yeah. 4 years, you go back to it.
Yeah. No. If we get to the quarterfinals in 4 years, I'll watch it again. Otherwise, not bothered.
How about you anyway? What's been in glass? What's been up your ass?
I think we did an AD Rattray tasting, which was very good. Lots of tasty single casks. And there was an Annandale in that, which I was really impressed with.
I was just about to say, can I cut in and ask you about that? Because That's one. I visited the distillery on the way back from my Loch Lomond trip ages ago on my own. So I was driving, I couldn't really sort of taste anything. The drams leaked in the car on the way home because they weren't sealed properly. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. But really loved the setup there. Beautiful distillery, stunning. And I was just like, everyone's moaned about the liquid. And I think, know it was they put a massive price on it initially. I know it has come down. But
well, I think they're kind of hit and miss. I think I've tried about 9 now in total. Not that I'm counting.
Yeah.
So it could be 8, could be 9, could be 10, but it's definitely more than 8. And I really loved 2 of them, including this one. So I think AD Rattray there just done a really good cask selection. It was a really, quite a nice oiliness to it. Just lots of flavour, good bourbon cask really. The Tamdu that we tried in their collection 91 had an amazing nose. I mean, the nose was insane.
Do we have a 5-second pause for the advert music for Tamdu? Or are we skipping past it?
Well, I did actually open a bottle of Tamdu Batch Strength 8 this week. Yeah, I did. So feel free. Yeah,
love it.
Yeah, it's I've got it open ahead of Christmas. I've also poured a dram of that.
Contractual obligations fulfilled.
Yeah,
check.
Yeah, check. Tick. I don't know what else has been in the glass. I mean, you know, going for a few bottles and things like that. But probably the highlights of the week. Oh. I will say somebody, Gordon, I think he's Tully Cron or something. He's a nice guy online. I think he's lives in Northern Ireland. He has sent me 3 Stornings and I sent him some drams back as well. Nice. And I've only tried a couple of Stornings, including the Somerton one. And he said he thinks one of them is terrible. will I think the same? Yeah. So I tried one of the 3, which is a Storning Chaos Distillery ED Virgin American Oak finish, bottled in June 2023, cask number 2594, ABV 50%. Now,
that's a lot to fit on a sample label.
Yeah, it's impressively small writing. Well done, Gordon. If indeed that is your real name, I don't know, because it's just people we meet online. Seems like a nice guy. Anyway, shades of menthol. It's basically just menthol, spearmint, vanilla, and oak. And that's all it is.
Nice.
It would be a lovely dram to have after dinner to calm things down. And I hope that wasn't the one that he thinks is terrible, because I actually thought, whilst it was very minty, I mean, it was interesting, right? I mean, you know, you don't usually get that much menthol and mint in
one
whiskey.
One before bed, maybe. Bed
whiskey. Maybe, a little calmer. Have it with a nice herbal tea. Anyway, so you had that. And the main thing that's been annoying me, really, is just the constant swings from hot to cold. I can't cope with it. I'll go out one day wearing a jumper, and then I'll be too hot. And then the next day you wake up and it's like middle of winter again. So
being British is up your ass.
All I'm asking for is it to be less swingy, right?
Yeah.
You know, like
less swinging.
Yeah. Less swinging. That's exactly right. Just things a little bit more, calm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when the weather sells, you just like, you can choose everything, your clothing, you know what you're going to have for dinner. You can already sort of preempt what wine you're going to have, what whiskey you're going to have.
Oh, maybe.
Do you want a lager? No, too cold. Oh, a little bitter.
What I did get though was, I pinched a couple of the Master of Malt, had another 10% voucher, and I saw they had a couple of Speyside 25-year-old blended malt, although it's speculated, it's just teaspooned. Mm-hmm. And a couple of the reviews said that basically the tasting notes were like bang on. And I'm into blended malts older sherried whiskey. I think like it works with older whiskey, like, you know, sherried profiles. It's got a reasonable color on it. And I bought 2 of those bottles, one of which would go to my dad. I think it was like £81 a bottle in the end after
Christmas
discount.
Present sorted, is it?
Kind of, yeah. Also like just another one in the cupboard for Christmas, you know, so I got a bit of choice because I was thinking about saving that Thompson one to Christmas and the Tamdu, but the chances are they won't make it. So, got to lock and load something else now.
They are not going to survive.
They may not make it, yeah.
Yeah. Decent.
So other than potentially producing a calendar about moats for 2024, we are approaching Halloween. Right. So, yeah, I know, right?
My ghost impression.
You maybe did a little wee bit of research.
I tried.
Yeah.
I basically like, I put the
like
word
shouting
out
into the void, weren't you? Really?
Yeah, into the X void. Ghost stories, haunted distilleries, I want to know about it. And yeah, a couple of people messaged back, but just, I want some distilleries to reach out and say, look, we've got the ghost of old Willie hiding away in the cupboard somewhere. Just for stuff down the line, just for little ideas I've got in my head.
Right.
But yeah, I just think a little sort of honest to a malt ghost adventures crossover would be decent.
Yeah, sounds right. If you can get it, if you can get it organized.
Some, try and get like a paranormal investigations team to come out with us and we can just take the piss.
So do you believe in ghosts then?
Oh, I 100% believe in ghosts. I have seen one.
We're not talking about the Welsh rugby team here, no. No,
the ghost of Northern Hemisphere rugby is long gone from this World Cup in all its entities.
So you think you've seen a ghost, do you?
I have seen a ghost, yeah.
Sorry. It's a bit like talking to people who've seen aliens. Sorry, you have seen a ghost. Yes, tell me about your experience, Mike.
So it was 2009 or two. No, it must have been winter 2008. And I was going to London for a work thing and had to stay at my mate's house, basically. The night before. So he lived in a tiny little cottage, proper like 1 meter thick walls. It's been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. Freezing cold. Like you could have the heat on as much as you want, freezing cold. So we went to the pub, went back, saying other things. I was sleeping on the sofa in the living room.
Yeah.
So I get myself ready. I'll go and get a drink of water from the kitchen. So I've walked from the living room through the hallway which leads to the kitchen. My mate's walking upstairs and I was like, see you later, morning mate, cheers, good night. And walked in the kitchen, my mate's there. I was like, oh, I just thought I said good night to you. I went, who's
oh my gosh,
who's upstairs? He went, what do you mean? I went, so who just went upstairs? And he was like, I live on my own, mate, what are you on about? He was like,
that's when you get chills, isn't it?
And genuinely I said goodbye to him, like the human shape walking up those stairs.
Yep.
I said goodbye to. Good night, sorry. And then, yeah.
Goodbye.
Then, we then grabbed a knife, obviously, and searched the entire house room by room.
Yeah, and they've still, and said, to this day, they've still never found the body.
No. And and then I was obviously then freaked out in the living room.
Of course.
And it's, like I said, freezing cold house anyway. But after that, I was like, you could see the mist, the heat coming off my breath in this living room. I was just like, oh my God, I had like no sleep. It just freaked me out massively. But yeah.
So I'll meet you halfway. I've never seen a ghost, but we did live, when we were students, we lived in a house and we were very freaked out by it. And what I mean is there was a particular part of the house where there would be consistent movement and there'd be nobody actually outside and you'd hear like people walking along the hallway.
Yeah.
And hear the creaks as they walk down the stairs into a room and you could even be in the room.
This better not turn into like a phantom pooer story. So just leaving a turd on top of the seat.
No, nothing like that. But the point is that you could hear the movement and you really sensed stuff. I mean, really. And we sort of dismissed it in the end because that's what you do. Unless you actually see a ghost, you sort of dismiss it. Yeah. But the movements at certain times, would make you really wonder. But then we were out and we met the students that lived in the house before and we didn't bring it up and they were like, you do know it's haunted, right? We were like, and then they talked to it and they said the same things. And then they said, one, because obviously we were drinking, they went, no, and we met the people that lived there before and they said the same thing and we didn't tell them. Go. And we was like, oh my days. Three sets of students over 12 years, all for.
And what area of the UK is this?
This was in Norwich. And it's one of those really big houses where when you walk down, you had to walk through the dark and all the toilets were downstairs. There was two toilets, bathrooms next to each other. And so you had to walk basically the entire length of the house twice. And it used to be horrendous walking at night, even though I've never been in any house. I've been in bigger houses.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like where it's just as dark and you could let it get in. But it wasn't that. It was like you really felt a sort of presence there. Now, I still don't think I believe in ghosts.
But you've heard them, seen them and felt their presence.
But I would say if anything
was to make me... So basically you're scared to admit to yourself, aren't you?
That's right.
You're basically scared to open that door and go...
Yeah, just don't open the door. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which made me think, right? So it's coming up for Halloween. Yeah. I don't know if you take Halloween seriously or not. I mean, being English, yeah. I don't celebrate it at all, really. But the only thing we do is probably watch some horror films. That's pretty much it, right? You know, occasionally when we were trendy and younger.
Trick or treat when I was younger.
Did you?
Yeah.
It feels a bit like
in Wales.
Right.
Wholesome
okay.
family fun.
Just get some sweets to feed you for next week.
The sort of 17-year-old chavs come knocking at the door, like, "Oh, can I have some sweets?"
I can just imagine you at someone's door going, "I'm gonna have to edit that out." Do you at someone's door going, "Can I have some fish fingers as well? Any chicken nuggets?"
Stay there, love. I got a lovely loaf of bread back here now.
Any dried pasta? Anyway, so I was thinking about the films that. So for a start, I think on Halloween I'll probably be drinking. I'm really into kind of like sherried. I think I've got fully into kind of like sherried malt season now already. Yeah. I just like it's got cold. I'm like fully embracing it. So I can imagine myself sitting down with the Tandy Batch Strength or finishing off that Thompson blended malt or I don't know, something else in the cupboard that's, you know, sherried.
I've got a Glendronic 18 that needs
off, so. I'm less feeling the kind of first fill bourbon cask stuff at the moment. I'm drinking quite a bit of peated stuff, I think. But so the sort of lightly peated stuff, I'm sort of looking at it going, that'll probably be fine in the summer. I've only had, you know, 4 or 5 drams out of the bottle. I can just leave that, right? Be fine. I'll crack into that in spring again. So
I've started my pumpkin beer hunt.
What's that?
Which I do every year, trying to find sort of like pumpkin flavored beer.
Right. Okay.
Surely you've had this before.
No, I've never tried it.
Oh, mate, America. Like Halloween is amazing.
America.
Everything is pumpkin.
Everything's
spiced
pumpkin flavored.
Pumpkin flavored.
Yeah, I've had a pumpkin spiced latte or whatever.
Yeah.
No, that's the most.
Pumpkin beers, mate.
Right, nice. Okay. I'll probably swerve.
Nice IPA, you probably swerve it because you hate IPA.
Yeah, I hate IPA. Yeah. Yeah. I actually can't think of anything worse than IPA that tastes of pumpkins.
Well, there you go.
That's, yeah.
You should try it. Try it first.
Yeah. So, by the way, on this whiskey, which you were drinking out of a tumbler. So,
Crystal
tumbler.
Crystal Glen Goyne. No. Not Glen Goyne.
Is that not the 1991?
No, I'm saying the glass.
Oh, the glass.
The glass. Oh, Glenmorangie.
Right, it's a Glenmorangie glass.
Whatever you want to say it. So it's a Glenmorangie glass, and it had a sample, a miniature of the 18-year-old in there. And I picked this up with the crystal and then two other Edinburgh crystals and a quaich, I think.
What's a quaich?
The silver thing that you share with someone, you pour it in and you hand it off.
Oh, okay.
Microphone hit. Yeah, you hand it off and pass it over. £30. I was like, three crystal glasses and an 18-year-old.
Was that some sort of
90s 18-year-old Glenmorangie?
Was that an auction by then?
Yep, non-whiskey auction. Still stalking them.
Still stalking them.
I can get.
But, send me those links.
Yeah, boy.
Or keep them for yourself.
Yeah.
So, do you want to have a wee sniff of this whiskey then and see if you do think it's
good? It does smell like whiskey.
What distillery do you think this?
It's not overly smoky on the nose.
No, it's quite gentle, isn't it? But they usually are when they get older, Islay whiskies.
Fruity. But it's still got some of those like nice vanilla-y custard notes and things going on underneath. So it's not like there's no massive TCP.
No. It's very gentle, isn't it? It's kind of like gently smoky.
Else is ruled out. So I would. It kind of leans towards a Bummer, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I agree.
I would probably go with it. I've done a few tastings of the from Steve Rush, Whiskey Wire. I managed to get on some of the Aston Martin tastings and some of the older Bummers. And it's kind of got that same vibe. So I would.
I mean, I've tried the 15 and the 12, and I think
but
I've tried the 18.
You don't really see that many indie bottlings of it. So God knows when they picked them up.
This is supposed to be a sherry cask, though, but this must be a really knackered sherry cask because there's almost no sherry in it.
That's probably why they. That's how they picked it up then.
Yeah.
I would have gone bourbon cask, I think. I don't really think there's that much sherry on there.
Well, it's just a hint of sweetness, really, isn't there? I get sort of
Oh, you can get it on the palate.
It's a bit.
I'm thinking it really chocolatey, raisins.
Do you get the kind of sweets?
Dried cranberry.
Do you get the kind of sweets on the nose? Like, not coconut. no, not coconut. You know, like those kind of Parma violet type things. I think, I think there's a hint of floral note in it, but I don't think there's a lot.
Yeah, it's a bit lavendery.
Yes, that's it, lavendery. And I actually did. I think I wrote that down when I properly was nosing and trying it before.
Yeah.
I agree with you on the kind of custard stuff. Yeah, it's kind of a sweet kind of floral nose, isn't it? And then when you actually try it, it's quite mild.
Yeah.
Slightly
ashy.
It's got
ashy, a short finish as well.
Bit
it's sort of
bit
like,
briny. But the finish is still slightly sweet.
Yeah. It just disappears though. It kind of ghosts away.
Okay, you could I think it's too expensive to session, but you could easily just session that whole.
It's not that bad if you think about it. I think they were 100.
No, it was 100, 145, this one.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because it's, yeah, this one's a bit pricier. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, but I could easily sit and that hammer this probably, with friends.
Yeah, that would add a bit of credence to the potential distillery then as well. Because they ain't letting anything go for cheap.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they've had it for years, haven't they? So yeah. I think they've had these casks for all that time. They just kept them, not knowing what to do with them.
I don't think the Wine Society are that clued up on pricing, though. No one fill them in, please.
Well, to be fair, they've watered it down to 46%. So it's not like it's coming out cask strength, is it? I think it would really benefit. Obviously, everyone says this, but it would really benefit from probably being like 50% ABV.
Yeah.
Maybe if they'd just done a few less.
Would this hit the mark as your dram while you're watching horror films?
I mean, I could drink this pretty much any time because it's just it's such easy drinking. I'm not
like,
sure.
What, like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Probably,
in
yeah. Well, on a way. Yeah. Well, we had to wet the baby's head. Yeah. It's only a wee one. I don't know. I think I'd probably steer towards kind of like just pure sherry bombs. I've actually got a bottle of Glenallachie single cask 901042, the Beverly Hills edition, which I've been keeping.
Mr. Allachie, did you say? Glenallachie. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Glenn.
Okay,
Glenn
that's
Allachie.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Just checking. Yeah. Still working there then.
He is. Yeah.
Decent.
Yeah. Sometimes he hangs out with Toby Maury. Yeah. Anyway, point is, like, I'm well into that. I've got my eyes on, you know, how much sherried, you know, what I like a range of ABVs. So
yeah,
if you like something kind of in the mid 40s, something around sort of 50, and something which is around sort of 60, if you want a bit of punch, and you want to have something really special. And so I've got a whole range of stuff, and I'm just trying to stop myself from buying too much more. I actually need to do an assessment. I've got a Glenlivet. Single cask from you've got into that
done that's just now.
Oh wow,
that's
what I mean.
Pause. I've done,
it's super sessional, isn't it?
60 like, mil. Whoops.
Yeah. Oh, so what film then? What were you gonna let's do a pairing.
So I was going to talk about, well, we mentioned sort of like scary movies and movies that have like freaked you out. So
no, the only films that actually made you like really scared.
Controversial and also hilarious. They are not scary films, really, but I was exposed at a very, very young age to the actual films. So one of my most freakiest films was Gremlins.
Okay, and I saw Gremlins when I was young, yeah.
Yeah, I used to have a recurring nightmare in my old house when I was probably like, how old had I been? 8, maybe, something like that, 8 years old.
Right.
And the shadow from what was my room onto the hallway upstairs, basically it was a massive triangle and it made like the nasty gremlin's ear, like the perfect shape for it.
Right.
I'd have a recurring nightmare about my sister being at the top of the stairs, like talking to me, and the gremlin coming round the corner and grabbing my sister. So that film freaked me out for years.
I don't to think about the nightmares I had when I was younger. I've just sort of forgotten it all. But if you really want to open that door, then
yeah,
I can. There
I've
are
got
some.
Another one as well, which is similar age, American Werewolf in London.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen both those films, obviously.
Yeah, obviously Gremlins is not scary in any way, shape or form, but no. American Werewolf in London, yeah, it's got a few
not really. No,
still not really acting. Yeah. Rubbish acting. But yeah.
You're a loose cannon, Mike.
I couldn't actually walk somewhere. Even for a good few years, as like a young teenager, I would be walking on a path and try not to step on grass in case I got mullered by a werewolf. And I couldn't even remember what the correct way round was. Is it stick to the grass, don't walk on the path? And I was like, oh, I can't remember. So yeah, I just freaked myself out when I was like little drunk as a teenager walking home through like the fields. Yeah. Just like, those are scary films that impacted me but aren't actually scary.
These days I find a lot of horror films that we do watch quite a few horror films. And a lot of horror movies are really generally quite bad, but you watch them anyway.
Yeah.
So the ones that really manage to terrify you, they're kind of masterpieces, aren't they? So I just wrote a few down. Of recent, I think Don't Breathe, the one when there's like an ex-Vietnam guy in the house and they break into his house and he can't see, but he can hear them, right? That's genuinely quite a scary film. Like, and then he comes after them. He's like, that's a definite recommend. I don't know if anyone's seen this, but a long time ago now, I think it's like mid-2000s, although I'm not looking it up, but there's a film called Eden Lake, which is a British film about a couple of people that go backpacking and kind of staying in a forest, and basically some like teenagers like torture them. Yeah. And then it ends up a bit weird near the end and it goes a bit sort of bizarre. But I would say that
sounds weird from the off.
That film is genuinely terrifying because it actually plays into much more close to home fears, which is basically you getting captured by some really nasty youths and tortured. Not that everyone thinks it's going to happen, but that feels way more real than most films. So I would actually say that film can be so scary for people. Don't watch it. That's my recommendation. Do not watch that film. I've got three
more. I told
you
my father-in-law is like a film director and stuff.
Yeah.
So is that his film? No. 4 Digital Media is his company. And on his Instagram, I just look sometimes, I'm like laughing at some of the standard of movie that is out there. It's literally, so I think I've told you before, The Night of the Killer Bears, Ted Meets the Terrifier. That's one of them. And then one of the latest haunting ones is Hunting Souls. And it's got 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is pretty good. But if I just...
That is pretty good.
It's like a young girl with a devil or sort of like a...
All right, I'll check that one out.
Face. Yeah. So Hunting Souls.
That's the audience rating.
I'll try and check it out.
It's not the Metacritic.
Yeah, so that's got to be good.
Yeah, it's probably all right, yeah. So my other three are Insidious, if anyone's seen that, and Event Horizon.
Yes.
Genuinely terrifying Event Horizon the first time I saw it. And other than that, probably Candyman, you know, the one where he looks in the mirror. He says, Candyman, 4 times.
That was another childhood one.
That's a childhood one.
Most of my mates were about 4 years older than me. So they were just about capable of watching these films without freaking out. And I'm like 4 years younger. As we mentioned the other day, on the cusp of being 5 years younger in the next year down at school. And yeah, I had some horrendous experiences.
There's so many better films than those. But for some reason, they're just not scary. I think that scary...
I like the Insidious collections and things and... Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like a film that's... Just because a film is... Like Shining's brilliant. It's not terrifying. It's just a brilliant film, right? You don't watch it and you can't sleep. Whereas something like Eden Lake gets in your mind. Or Candyman. It just sits there and you're like, oh, I really want to say Candyman into the mirror. But then you're like, maybe I won't, just in case he appears. Obviously, you know he's not going to appear.
Well, you don't believe in ghosts, so it's fine. So,
well, yeah, I can do it. Yeah. I'll do it after this.
Do it now. Go find a mirror.
I
will watch Ghost Adventures. I've seen every episode.
Right, Ghost Adventures.
23 seasons of it, like Zach Bagans and his team. And then there's a really good one on BBC at the moment called Uncanny, which goes into a few hauntings in the UK. Some really like anything freaky that just puts me on edge.
Nice.
I'm all into my ghosty stuff.
What are you going to be sipping on Halloween then?
I think it's going to be a combo of heavily sherried and...
Yeah, you see, smoking. You're in the heavily sherry boat as well, aren't you? Loving it.
Only because it's been such an extreme temperature drop the last couple of days. It's gone from like 25 to like 10.
I've been really looking forward to like, you know, when it's like a nice kind of... We had one day like this on Sunday where it's kind of sunny outside, but it's also really cold and you kind of put a coat on and you go and sit outside in the sunshine and you have a cigar and a dram. Right. And
I can't remember that, but yeah.
You have to enjoy autumn whilst it's around, right? Before winter kicks in. Yeah.
You just reminded me to air my cigars as well. I need to take.
Oh, you do need to do that, yeah.
Thanks for listening. Obviously, follow us along in the usual places at Honest to a Malt on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, you name it. We are likely to be there. Just wanted to give a final shout out to everyone that's been so kind to send things through the post to the house for little Isla. So Brian, Max, Mike, thank you very much for sending things. It is really appreciated and just shows what a wonderful little wiki community we have here. So thanks for the samples, those that sent, and the clothing. I'm sure she'll grow into them as and when. But yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. Bye.
Good evening, gents. It's Cliff here. I'd just like to lodge an expression of dissatisfaction with your recent podcast, episode 28, Scotch Bonnet on the Rocks. I was listening to your dulcet tones whilst enjoying a tumbler of David Brody's Finest, along with a very hot curry, and was astounded by the fact that you missed the opportunity to crack the habanabuna joke. Please try harder. Until my next complaint, good night.